Madam City Clerk, you are ready?
I'm ready.
We are back from a closed session, and I'll ask our city attorney to report on anything that came of that.
There's no reportable action.
Thank you. With that, I will call our city council meeting to order, and we will begin with a Pledge of Allegiance by Councilwoman Fonzie.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie, here. Councilmember Moreno,
here.
Councilmember Kelly,
here.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant,
here.
Mayor O'Malley,
here.
All present.
Thank you. Next item, Chief, to go forward with our life-saving award presented to Nathan by Atascadero Fire and Police Departments.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. Thank you for this opportunity to talk to you. This is going to be a joint recognition and citation to Nate Otter. Nate is a ambulance paramedic, and you know, it's typical in public safety and in emergency services, you're never off duty. At this time, I'd like to ask Nate if you'd come up, please. A few months back, Nate was out on a bicycle ride on his day off, tootling down Highway 41, witnessed a crash, got on scene, and actually took charge of the incident prior to police or fire being on scene, and initiated CPR on a lady. And within a few minutes, fire showed up, police showed up, and they defibrillated the patient and resuscitated and saved this lady's life. And we want to present, if Chief Haley would come up, we have a plaque that, because we were so impressed, both of us so impressed, it says, the Atascadero City Fire Department, Atascadero Police Department presents to Nathan Otter in recognition of your selfless act of courage above and beyond your civic responsibility.
And we're just going to follow up on that. Within the police department, we have a committee that meets regularly to decide what awards should or should not be handed out to individuals within the community or within the department. Our committee did meet and, in conjunction with the fire department, decided it would be appropriate to issue the commendation of public service to Nate Otter for what really are heroic actions that he took on that day to save the life of one of our residents. And so this certificate just accompanies the plaque that he's been given already and is just further in recognition of his efforts and the work that he did on behalf of this particular resident to save her life. So thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank everybody. just a couple minutes of your time, if I could. I've been in this business long enough to realize that it's never the act of one person that truly makes a difference for anybody. And that being said, I'd be remiss not to acknowledge the other folks that were involved with helping this lady, and in particular the officer that showed up with his AED played a critical role in the outcome of in this line of work. The biggest reward, however, I got to say, especially when I saw the car seat in the back of her vehicle, is just really hoping that she'd be able to see whatever kid she normally brings around in that car seat and her family. And lastly, excuse me, the last thing I just wanted to say, I mean, kind of as a field supervisor for San Luis Ambulance and as a parent always looking for learning opportunities, and just one thing that I really kind of wanted to pass on to everybody who, you know, who's here, and maybe pass along to your loved ones as well. I was just a guy on a bike ride that day who happened to know CPR, and it's more challenging to learn how to ride a bike than it is to do CPR, I assure you. So you can contact San Luis Ambulance, or certainly there's plenty of other agencies that could help direct people on learning hands-only CPR. It's a few minutes of your time, and can obviously make a big difference. So. That being said, thank you.
Well, don't leave yet. We do want to thank you again. It looks like you have your three daughters here in the audience. Maybe they could join you over here, and the council will come behind you and the chief. We would like a picture together because we do want to recognize you for your availability and your service. So thank you.
Tom, could I just make a short comment?
Sure.
I'm one that listens to the scanner a lot and hear all the calls that the fire department, the police department, and the paramedics from San Luis Ambulance go on. And I think the citizens of Atascadero ought to really be proud of the medical service that's provided to our citizens. And I am the recipient of some fabulous medical care from San Luis Ambulance. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. So I'm really a proponent of all of the medical services that are provided for the citizens of Atascadero. And I'm really proud that our police department are using those new AEDs. I know they've gone out several times. So I'd like to just say thank you for the services that you provide our community.
Thank well you. Said, Councilman Kelly. Why don't we join the gentleman?
Okay. Daughters, come on forward, all three. Come on up, kids.
What a great dad, huh? We have another presentation this evening, and I don't see the recipient. Oh, there he is in the back.
Yeah, speaking of great dads, he's back there in civilian clothes. We wanted to celebrate again Brady Cherry. Brady's been our community services director for one heck of a long time, and he's a real family member here at staff. Kurt was telling me minutes ago, we now have the same amount of department heads as we have department head chairs. Nobody gets to hide in the audience or back in their office on a regular basis. And Brady had said that he thought he went to his last council meeting. I told him perhaps we should continue this event until the next meeting so he could come to that one as well. But in all seriousness, Brady's a great guy. He's done great work for us. Brady came to Atascadero from Port Hueneme in 1994. As our community services director. In his position, he oversaw the pavilion, the community center, the zoo, and recreation programs. One of his many responsibilities was to oversee the Charles Paddock Zoo through its improvements and upgrades and three accreditations. I was thinking he might have should have stuck around for the fourth accreditation because now I'm going to try to get through an accreditation process. He also served as Atascadero's acting public works director, overseeing field operations, contract engineering, and capital projects. And I can tell you as a city council and as an organization, we've come one long ways. As Brady, as a public works director, used to just come into my office with one of those wads of the pink slips saying, okay, I did 100 apologies today. Can I have $1 to fix pavement? And we didn't really have a dollar at that time. Brady also served for a time as the assistant city manager. At times, he oversaw our personnel, even oversaw a bunch of the financial operations through the city. So there's not many parts of our organization Brady hasn't touched. And you've probably seen him a bunch of Saturdays standing that screen up all by himself. He did a great job. He initiated the father-daughter dance, the annual event, which now we do a couple of nights, and it's a really huge event. And he's a current or past member of the SLO County Parks and Recreation Administrators Society, the SLO Child Abuse Prevention Council, and I think he was the chairman last year, the Atascadero Youth Task Force, and North County Connection. Brady started in the city of Lawndale in 1973, before I went to college. as part of the recreation leader, and he moved up over the years to a director and then moved to the city of Port Hueneme, where he was there for 6 years, and then he came to Atascadero, where he's been here for 18 years. 39 years serving communities in which he lived. We're all going to miss Brady here at City Hall. He's been a go-to guy on a lot of levels. He really is one of the major team builders. And while I was still in high school when he was starting Lawndale, he always reminds me that I look much older than him. Everybody, please congratulate and welcome Brady back to the council meeting.
So, Brady, before you start speaking, remember my words I shared with you. I said, you have 30 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley, members of the City Council. It's a real pleasure to be here tonight. Obviously, I have a lot of mixed feelings. Working for the City of Atascadero for the past 18-plus years has been really a privilege and one of the highlights of my life because I've gotten to work with all of you. The city councils. I think in 94 when I first came, Bob Nimmo was the mayor. He was very professional, a very good mayor. And ever since, we've had excellent city council members right up to the present day. And Mrs. Marino, I'm sorry I won't get to work with you, but I know there are good things ahead for the city of Atascadero. I've really been blessed in my career, and it's primarily because I've gotten to work with the citizens of Atascadero and our staff. And one of the things I wanted to mention was, you know, Wade McKinney, really, when he came to Atascadero in 1997, he really raised the bar for city staff and the profession, sort of had their own little fiefdom, if you might say. But since Wade's been here, we've been able to accomplish so much because of the teamwork, starting with the leadership of the city council and Wade and Jim. By the way, Jim is going to be a fantastic city manager. We're really going to miss him. He's been made an indelible mark on Atascadero, and I know he'll do a great job for Pismo. I wanted to mention something about the police department, because the police department in Mr. Haley, Chief Haley, wasn't at the lunch the other day where I got roasted a little bit. But I wanted to say that since Chief Haley has arrived, I've just seen great things out of the police department. We have a wonderful department, and knowing him as a person over the last year, his leadership is just going to take the department to new heights, and Commander Allen was an excellent choice as his number two, and I just see things getting better and better. And I've already told most of you that I think our fire department is the best in the state, and I really mean that. I would trust my life with them, starting with my good friend Kurt Stone, Chief Stone. He's got the best quality people of any fire department I've ever seen. These guys are the best trained, and they're the best people. I've sat on oral boards for the fire department, and they're just the best. And Russ Thompson in Public Works, he was out of town for my little luncheon the other day, too, and I wanted to kind of let people know that I've gotten some emails and some phone calls saying, you know, now that you and Jim and Jeff are no longer with the city, who am I going to call? And so I want you to know, Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I've stole a stack of Russ's business cards. And when people ask me that, I hand them out and I say, you're going to call Russ Thompson because he's going to help you out and get the job done. And I really think our public works is the backbone of the city. Those guys and gals out there, they do an excellent job, and I really enjoyed working with Russ and all of the staff. Many of them worked for me once upon a time. The finance department and Rochelle, I don't think you can find a better combination of professionals and just wonderful human beings. They're a joy to be around, and they know their stuff, and they keep us all honest. And Rochelle, it's been a real pleasure working with you and all of your staff. I will very much miss all of you. Warren Frace, I think you heard me say the other day, I think he's the best planner I've ever worked with in my career. Audrey, all the staff, Bonnie, and the zoo staff in particular, who work so hard at the zoo. They're all working. They're committed. They're dedicated. They're professional. And they're working for great new leadership. So I'm very convinced that all of these changes will be successful. And so I'd just like to thank the City Council, all my co-workers who I've worked alongside for all these years, and particularly the community, the citizens who've supported me so much, and the community organizations. We are blessed in the Tascadero, and I just want to thank you for a wonderful career.
Thank you. Don't go away, Brady. I'm sure council members will have some comments. I'll go ahead and have any council members share, and I'll close with a couple of thoughts. Go ahead.
Brady, I guess I'm one of the older guys around here, and I could just tell you thank you for all your speeches, and go and enjoy yourself in your retirement. And I know it'll take a little while to get used to it, but savor it. You've earned it, and we want to thank you for the job that you did for our city. I think you're right up there equal with all of the people that you recognized, and we just want to thank you, and you'll be missed.
Yes, Brady, I just wanted to say your integrity, your honesty, just your demeanor, your positive attitude, you're an inspiration for me. I love interacting with you. I wish I could have worked with you longer. It's only been a few years, but I really wish you the best. Enjoy your retirement. You're going to be busier now than you've ever been in your life. So just enjoy it, and thank you so much for all you've done.
Brady, as I said at your luncheon the other day, after hearing all these wonderful things about you and the little bit I have known, I am certainly going to miss not being able to work with you, but I wish you all the best and thank you for everything that you have done for the city.
Brady, I've been around a long time also, but these guys have said it all, but I have really enjoyed knowing you. You are a top-notch person. I know you're going to do well in the public. You're going to stay involved in our community. I'm going to miss you, Brady. I hope you have a great retirement.
Well, I'm not going to repeat my presentation from your luncheon. Just a couple comments, though. I do want to repeat one of the points I did make is you truly are one of the nicest people I've ever met, and truly a good role model for all of us. You're that guy that's on that slogan in Wade McKinney's office. Who knows what you can accomplish if you're willing to let everyone else take the credit, is kind of a paraphrase. And you're one who works toward folks you've worked with, and you've got some of the best staff. You spend a lot of time encouraging everybody else, but you've really worked with your team and the folks you're leaving behind. We're actually having a thinner staff, but I think, as you say, through good organization, we are really well positioned, and folks really are very well prepared. And I think it's because you've really personally invested in people for so many years and built relationships in the community that also help us succeed. So it's a sincere thank you from all of us, and we do have a little token here. If you join us in the middle, we'll stand back here and do want to give you this.
Thanks.
Very nice. Thank you. We now move on to our consent calendar. We do have a number of items considered to be routine. If any council member wishes to pull an item or a member of the public, I am going to pull item number 7 for some discussion. Any other items? Number 8 by Councilman Kelly. Any member of the public have a concern about any consent calendar items? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council and would entertain a motion on the items not pulled.
I move approval of items 1-6.
Second.
A motion by Councilman Fonzie, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant. A roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes on 2, 5, and 6, and I will abstain on 1, 3, and 4 as I was not present at those meetings.
Okay. Councilmember Kelly?
No on 3 and 4. I was not present, and yes on the remaining.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We'll take up item 7 first, and this is a joint powers agreement, and our Supervisor Arnold raised some questions that I thought I should at least raise that she brought to our attention. And it had to do with the ability of the agency to incur debt through the private sector. As it turns out, it's actually in state law that such an organization can do that, and that part of this is to make it clear in the agreement so that the public is aware of just what rights and responsibilities come with the organization. There are some concerns that there potentially could be a misuse of that, but it was felt by the majority of the board, it did pass 4-5, that would not be an issue. And I did talk with the director of the Regional Transportation Authority, and he has agreed at the suggestion of Supervisor Arnold and myself that we discuss this a little more at the RTA board meeting and look at some limitations or more clarity on this. And I think it would be much as I had recommended when I was on the Integrated Waste Management Authority board, when there's issues that might be of concern, that we make sure we have extra public processing, that if such an item were to come forward in the future to the RTA board, that we make sure that it's presented to each jurisdiction for an extra level of discussion. And I think there's some compromises that we can work in there to everyone's satisfaction. So I wanted to bring it to the council's attention that a question had been raised on this. It has passed by the majority of the other agencies. If one agency objected, we'd kind of go back to square one because everyone has to agree to the same language. So I think it's worth going forward with as it is, and I think at the RTA board level we can add some extra level of review. So with that, I'm going to open it up to the public. If there's any public comment on agenda consent calendar item number 7, seeing none, I'll close public comment, bring it back to the council, and since I pulled it, I'll move that we adopt the staff's recommendation. Motion by Mayor O'Malley, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We have consent calendar item number 8, amendments to salary schedules and approval of new staff positions from salary savings. I'll turn it over to Councilman Kelly. You pulled this and have...
Staff was busy at the time, and I was informed it would take a few days to get that information, and they were gathering it for the strategic planning. I would like to pull this and open it up for the roundtable discussion at the strategic planning. I don't think there's any emergency right now to put these positions in place. I know that Mrs. Marino is a new member of the City Council, and I think this is... quite a big thing that we're going to take on, the reorganization of our staffing and what have you. I have really no objection to, you know, creating these positions, but I would feel I'm not ready right now to really make that decision. I would like to have further discussion at strategic planning, and we might have some other ideas or positions that we might want to add or what have you. So I would like to, I don't know if anybody else would like to delay it for 2.5 weeks and take it to strategic planning.
Thank you. I'll ask staff to respond to any of these questions, and we'll open it up to further questions or discussion by council.
Well, Mayor and Council, obviously we'd like to move this forward. You know, the vacancies are on us. Jim's baby was born just this Sunday. So we are trying to move organizationally. We haven't done anything in a number of years. And so the organization, I think, is hungry for this. The information is out, and it's out in your agenda. We are producing. It does stay within the budget. You know, I still intend to meet all the directives as your primary staff. I believe this organizational structure will continue to meet all of the council goals, and it is within the budget, saves just a little bit of money. It saves some funds in an annual operation, but it even saves money in the short term if you consider, I didn't review all positions like Councilmember Kelly had asked for, but if you consider the payout, you know, the end of term costs for Mr. Cherry, Mr. English, and Mr. Lewis, we still come in under budget with this operation. I think that this, your continued support of these measures shows the organization that we are that team that Mr. Cherry talked about. Not that you wouldn't be a team by talking about it, by reviewing it, but I think that what you call me to do is organize and continue to provide these services as possible, and that we grow those frontline positions that are really those boots on the ground, as we mentioned. So we really believe this is a good opportunity, and we're concerned about really any delay at this point.
Thank you. Again, I just want to have questions from council at this time. We'll open up the public, then come back for some discussion. So questions on this item. Councilman Fonzie.
Yes, if I understand the staff report correctly, we'll be saving approximately $265,000. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's annual over annual compared to the positions, and that's at top step. So, you know, we always calculate those things at your maximum cost. So you won't even start people at top step. So your real savings in the second year, or, you know, in the year you would come into, would be more than that, because we wouldn't have people at top step.
And if I'm reading this correctly, we're adding two positions that are at the very bottom tier of maintenance. They would be maintenance level one, and the rest are internal range increases or reclassifications. Is that right?
That's correct. That's people that are currently and have been working out of class or doing particular items. And with the loss of the assistant city manager, we do have some adjustment in there with someone, a management analyst in the city manager's office, which is, we think, about the least we can get by with, and the technology issue.
And I know this is not exactly part of the report, but we did have some questions about vacation accrual prior to this time and putting people into positions or leaving them vacant to kind of burn off that leave. Is that going to be affected by this particular action?
We will. Some of the positions are vacant already, so we are having some savings by vacancy, which I haven't calculated in, but if you take all of the numbers with the vacation and other payoffs for Mr. Lewis, Mr. Cherry, and Mr. English, you still save overall about $8,000.
Thank you.
Other council questions? I think I have an understanding of these, just for my own clarification. The positions you're reducing are management positions?
That's correct. We're reducing or eliminating three management positions.
And the positions we're adding are lower than the top management positions?
We have a division manager in technology, but everything else is more of a line-level position.
And I think
and Mr. English had, we're in the historic leave bank, so there would be a savings or a reduction of long-term liability in those accounts.
Okay. And normally the council doesn't get involved in deciding how to accomplish our goals. We set priorities. We set goals. We've got two employees, as I always tell the public, a city manager, city attorney. And normally this is in the purview of the city manager to determine positions. And it looks like, though, from my observation, these are pretty strategic positions that you're looking at and having. Could you just briefly touch on those positions added and how you think that will strategically help the city perform its duties?
By and large, I think these are under the purview of the city manager, but in an abundance of caution, we're trying to make sure that we check in and follow the code and check in with the city council. In the senior building maintenance specialist is a particular individual that's doing a variety of special projects, hands-on projects, has done a lot of projects. You guys have seen him around. He might be here tonight in the background building something. But this is a particular individual that we have working on a variety of significant of our significant building projects within the Public Works Department that we think is working out of classification and that we need to recognize. This title just doesn't exist. There's another similar title we could assign, but this is an appropriate title for that position. The personnel specialist, likewise, that particular title doesn't exist. There was a personnel analyst at a higher level than this, but we have reorganized, and we did that some time ago with one of the members of the finance department. And so they have been assuming and are assuming more duties under this switch with personnel. They handle all benefit management and all those items. And frankly, as you know, we experienced a savings with that. So that is a slight increase there. The management analyst is one of the big changes. That is a change. There won't be an assistant city manager in the city manager's office, but this management analyst would be a position that would handle some of the special projects, major, and the, like the promotions program and the T-bid program, and additionally take some of the staff work that Marcia and I are currently. This is called capital projects manager. The other would be public works operations manager. They would be more hands-on and at the field level. And then, of course, the information technology manager would be one of our existing employees that would be a division head that would report to me as opposed to the assistant city manager that was previously in charge of the technology department.
Thank you. I think Councilwoman Fonzie had a question.
Just one more. If we were to pass this evening, I assume that we could still revisit this at strategic planning. There will still be some money on the table possibly or other positions that could be reconsidered at that time.
Yeah, we always want to keep our options open. So, yeah, absolutely. We would move forward. But, yeah, there were additional savings, as we said, and certainly we could discuss the operations if there was something that we weren't meeting or you wanted to increase the staffing levels to.
Thank you.
Okay, I think Councilman Kelly, then Councilman Sturdivant.
That was a good question. I'm glad you asked that one. Some of my concerns are that we're losing three top management people that are not being replaced, and that's 120 hours worth of work a week that's going to disappear from some very highly qualified people that have some experience. So I have a little concern about that we're covered. I really don't have a problem with your reorganization plan. I just want to be a little more comfortable with the numbers. And just as an example, Brady Cherry's, I got this information from the year 2011, is roughly $165,000 a package. And the severance pay with the accrued vacation and sick time was a little over $111,000. Now, his position is budgeted till the end of the year. So if you say take half of the 165, that's $82,500. So we have a $28,500 overdraft because we've had to pay that 100. And I'm just a little, all I want to know is where that money's coming from and how do some of the other positions work. I just want to feel comfortable with the numbers is all. And I'm not against this. I think this is great that we can take some of our employees and reward them and move them all up. But I just want to feel comfortable with the complete reorganization because it's a big move for the city. And I just want to feel comfortable with the numbers. And I tried to get that information last week. And if that information is not provided with me, I don't know how much confidence I have in these other numbers, where they came from. So
the positions that are gone, the new ones we're talking about, in looking at all the work that has to go on, are these essential for making the transition to keep us not only going but also going into the future? In other words, the jobs that are going to need to be filled. As Councilman Kelly said, there's 120 hours. Well, we're not going to have that with a manager's direction. Have it with people closer to the work. So, is this the way I see this? Is that it's actually going to be work that needs to be done, restructured in such a way that actually the work gets down to the level where it has to be done? Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, you are. And you know, I don't want to I agree with everything that really has been spoken. Because in recent years we've reduced operations quite a bit, when we're talking about top three managers, Jeff English, as you all know, was a hands-on supervisor in Public Works. And now we're talking about two new maintenance worker ones and another lower-level operations manager in Public Works that would do what Jeff's doing. So I don't think I'm going to lose any hours there. In fact, I'm going to pick up a variety of hours, work hours, in Public Works. In the recreation area, much like the similar, we had reduced Brady the community services. So Brady has been hands-on operations for some time, and we've moved those operations both to my office, Public Works, and in the police department, where I think that they do fit. And we're actually seeing a little bit of good success in the last few weeks that we've started this. We appreciate Brady helping us make that transition. And so I think those two we're very comfortable with. Jim was a talented, talented guy. That's why he's going to be the city manager in Pismo Beach. Don't get me wrong. We are going to miss Jim, but we do think that we have a lot of talent in the organization, and we can get the work done. There's some spice that Jim brings to all of our lives that really is something that we need to concentrate on. But looking at where we have organized and aligned the organization with the promotions and the economic development items, we think that these staffing pieces will make up those critical junctures where we were using Mr. Lewis's time. He not only did the economic development piece, but he also did personnel and technology and some of those, which are the ones that we're able to assume in another capacity. So I don't disagree with, I agree with everything that's been said. Certainly, assuming all the positions we just changed. The information that Councilmember Kelly had asked for was the separation cost for all employees that had separated for 2012. And we're not even positive of what those positions were. So we know the main ones are the three that we're talking about right now, but we weren't able to track down what all of those other positions are and try to determine how they affected the overall budget. And we generally have operated with the vacation leave accrual issue and the other payout issues, that it takes a certain amount of time to replace somebody. Plus, there is some just lag time and vacancy, and often the new person starts at a lower salary. So there are salary savings annually that sort of cover those balances, if you will, those leave and other balances that we owe to the employees. And so annually it has worked for us. It was only in this year that we decided to go about capping the vacation leave accrual. It hasn't negatively impacted you in the last 14 or 15 years as we showed in the earlier report. So there's definitely a payout. We do have the information about the additional costs and savings for the positions that we're currently talking about, the four people that recently left that we're really concentrating on right now with this reorganization. We didn't want it. It isn't that if one department cannibalizes a position, they get to spread that money around. That's not the message we're trying to promote. What we're trying to promote is that there have been life changes for people, and there will be more life changes in 2013 and beyond. We've already heard that Corey Myers announced his retirement, and that's
we're not accepting that.
Yeah, we're not accepting. We're not accepting Corey's. So there will be impacts. We believe these changes will save you money, which is important in these kinds of times, and continue the operation at the levels you've been expecting.
Thank you. We have a Councilman Moreno.
Just a quick question, Wade. Of the positions where the individuals have been working above their classification, how many individuals has that been? Is it four or five? And for how long have...
I'd like to get to public just to see if there is any public input, then we can have more questions and discussion by council. So let me go ahead and open it up to the public. If there's any comment on this item, seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment and go back to further deliberations, but we can now enter into offering opinions on this. I will state that I think it was appropriate to pull this item. It is somewhat complicated and probably a little more discussion needed than a consent calendar item, so appreciate Mr. Kelly pulling that. You had some additional comments.
You know, Tom, I did pull it, and I think the people that have been mentioned about the change of class and pay raise are fully deserving of it. And I have no problem making a motion to approve that this evening, but I think I've made the point, and we opened it up for discussion, and the fact that the information I think that we desire will be provided to us at the strategic planning, and I think I look forward to discussing that in the future. So if there's no other discussion or anything, I'll make a motion to approve item number 8.
It's a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion. Councilwoman Fonfi.
Yes, the thing that bothered me a little bit about this, if we were to delay it, Bob, right, is that there's nothing worse than doing a job and being expected to do more because one of your superiors takes off and is retiring, and you do not get rewarded or recognized for that.
I have no problem.
And I think it's so important to recognize our employees. We have some great ones here, and I'd like to have them take those step increases.
No, I fully agree with that. I was just looking at the bigger picture on the thing, and I think we've opened it up for discussion, and I think at strategic planning, we may not want to make any changes. We may want to accept it, but I think all of us have some ideas that we can throw into the deal. So.
Very good. And before we vote on this, Rochelle, we never got to hear from you. What was the number on the
Thank
vacation
you.
Accrual?
I forgot. Thank you. Go ahead.
I don't have the vacation accrual or any of the other leave accruals broken out separately. I looked at total costs for those employees for the year. So what salary they had plus what their leave payoffs will be. So I don't have that number broken out tonight in front of you. I can get that for you if you're interested in that separate cost. So we wanted to look at the total cost of the employee for fiscal year 12-13, compare that to what was budgeted, and make sure those all net out. And like I said, we ended up with a savings of about $8,000, even including those one-time costs. And then with this plan, if this is where we leave it, there's an annual savings from here on out of around two.
Decisions on the not only the employees selected by your office, but the repositioning. So I think that's good. I do also think I support council members and public. I'm sure we'll be hearing from the public soon about getting answers to some of these questions. What I propose that we discuss at strategic planning as a more routine way to address that. Often folks have questions that there may or may not be time to address, as Councilman Kelly had. There's lots of staff priorities. What I would like to do is we incorporate that into our regular strategic planning process. Council members, just like we submit questions throughout the year, the things we want to have a little more discussion on. Likewise, especially with fiscal items, let's kind of accumulate those questions, maybe have an extra strategic planning session, maybe twice a year. We have two opportunities to look a little bit more in depth at some of these issues. You have a little more time, as Councilman Kelly has described, as a roundtable discussion, but staff also have months to prepare to get the information that we would like to have. And I think one area we do want to monitor is the accrued leave. We addressed that, came up with a solution. We want to see how our solution is working, and so getting a kind of a status on that, I think, is certainly something we want to hear about. But so I think we can, as Councilman Kelly suggested, have a little more discussion. And I'd welcome any questions you have, kind of get it to staff, and we can address that coming up in mid-January. So thank you all, and thank you for your patience. We are moving on now to the updates from the city manager. Then we'll go to community forum. So the brief by the city manager, no doubt.
Yes, they're going to be very brief, mostly because my copy of them is...
I can email it to you real quick if
okay.
you want.
Because I killed my copy of it. Let me tell you that the 99-cent store is opening this Thursday. The grand opening is at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I think the first 9 people can buy a 20-inch flat screen for 99 cents. So be there, 8 o'clock. on Thursday, and there will be a new. There will be some kind of special for the first several weeks. Council strategic planning we're talking about tonight with the land use and the community development portion that Warren's going to talk to make arrangements to bring meals in. I wanted to tell you a little bit about the zoo attendance. Our zoo attendance for 2012 was 64,750 people. It's an increase over the last 2 years. You know, we're a lot weather dependent. And so I think this Saturday we did great with 254 people. Sunday, not so great with the rain for 12 people. So it's a tough business, but the zoo has been doing really well. And we look for it with the new promotions program for it to do even better in 2013. I also wanted to update you on the Santa Barbara Interchange program because there's been a variety of questions about that. Russ checked in with Caltrans. They are frustrated as well. They got they had some early troubles in the project, got it pushed back, and so they are prepared to pave, but they need the area to dry out enough to get a good pavement. So we're hoping that they'll be able to pave this week. When I looked, or when the police chief looked just before the meeting, looked like no rain on Wednesday, so we maybe we'll get the pavement down. Fire chief's not believing what the police chief's saying, so maybe the police chief and I were looking at the wrong website. We're hoping for no rain for just a short period of time so we can get some pavement down. And so we understand that that's a frustrating project. It is a Caltrans project, and we'll continue to communicate with them. I know the mayor is also working with Caltrans and SLOCOG to apply some pressure with that. And those are my updates for this evening.
Very good. And I'll just add to that that I did get a call from the executive director from San Luis Council of Governments, who's contacted the head of Caltrans, and they are also tuning into the issue of folks concerned about abandoned cars and increased trash. Well, the cars are gone, trash is bagged up, ready to be hauled away, and they're going to work that in. It is their responsibility to make sure things like that don't happen, and they're going to kind of make sure that's in the routine. So we appreciate getting those kind of emails from the public if we miss something like that, and then we try to follow up with the agencies that are involved. So thank you. Councilman Kelly.
Yeah, just one question on the zoo. It's very exciting that the attendance is on the increase. Off the top of your head, do you know how the gift shop's doing?
We're still working out some kinks, so it's doing okay. It's doing relatively.
Church representing the Ministerial Association. My first meeting since Councilmember Moreno's here, welcome. It's a little different to not see Jerry sitting there, got to admit. I'm sure he's listening in right now, and so we miss him. It's a great meeting to be a part of, particularly with Nate's recognition and with Brady. And before I pray, just Brady has been just an outstanding community member. I've been here for 28 years now. And just to see our organization in this city and what he had to say as an insider, it was, I think, very valuable for all of us to hear. I wish everybody in the community could have been here tonight to hear what he had to say, because I think we have an outstanding organization. And with all the changes that are taking place, I'm glad that Wade's at the helm, because this is historic. We've never seen in this city, since I've been aware of it at least, the level of changes that are taking place right now in terms of restructuring. And I think we've got a great team put together and excited about the future of our city. And we've got some great people in place. But I'm glad, Wade, that you're at the helm directing it, because it's important to have good leadership. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for this city that we love and that we live in. And God, I just pray for the future and even those positions that will be that are vacated at this point, the changes that are going to be taking place and the new people that will come in. I just ask even for wisdom and direction for those selections, that those people might come with not only energy but also good experience. It's always helpful to have people that come in with a diversity of experience that bring in new ideas, things that will be helpful for our city that we would benefit from. We're grateful for the infusion that we've had in the past. We're grateful for the homegrown people that serve so diligently here and are so competent. And so we just ask that those things would come together and that they'd be orchestrated in such a way to move our community forward. Lord, we're so grateful for Nate and the recognition of saving a life in our public servants that day in and day out do heroic things, many of which we're not even aware of. But Lord, we're also aware of the carnage in our community as well, through drugs and heroin, overdoses, through the recent suicides even, and it just breaks our heart as community members. And we would ask, God, that you would allow for us to be able to apply the resources both in the spiritual arena and in the public sector. And
Ben Wilkins with the president of the Historical Society. I want to kind of give you an update on where we're at. First, I want to wish everyone a happy centennial year. And what we're doing over there on our archiving, we have about 800 photos now that are entered into our Past Perfect program, which is a computer program. So we can call those up by subject, by dates, by names. We have approximately 3,000 to 3,500 that are in our archival sleeves, which are plastic protective sleeves, and they're all organized by categories in our file cabinets. And when they go into the Past Perfect program, they get assigned a number, and all the cabinets have numbers, the drawers have numbers, each file has a number, and then each photo has a number. So when you go in there and do a search by a name or a date or a object, it'll tell you that number, and that's how you find that photo, as you go to that cabinet drawer and file and then go through the individual files. So anyway, we're getting ready for the centennial with that. We also have undertaken with our museum, working with Rochelle, it's been a pleasure, and Valerie Humphrey. We have one of the cabinets here in this building, and we've already developed a storyline that we want to tell, which is the history of Atascadero and how it's going to be laid out in the historic administration building. So we're setting that one. There's 8 of these particular cabinets, and we're setting each cabinet up in what we've decided as a team. So it's a merging of the city staff and the Historical Society members, most of them from the museum team and the archival team. And we're going to put those objects and the photos in those cabinets, arrange them how we see fit, catalog them, put them in a box. So when it's move-in day, those cabinets will be moved over there. And then we'll just have a sheet that tells us which cabinet those objects go in. We'll have a photo, and it'll tell us where to put them in the cabinet, so we kind of expedite our time during that process. And what came up at the last meeting was funding some of our budget. So I was talking with Don Seawater from Pacific Coast Lumber down in St. Louis, and he was asking me about slabbing out some of the wood. So in about 2 weeks, we're going to have some slabs we'd like to offer to the general public to help us fundraise. And they're going to be roughly 36 to 45 inches wide, about 10 to 12 feet long, and about 3.5 inches thick. And so we'd like to offer some of those, somewhere around $700. It's a real bargain. It'll be beautiful wood. If someone needs countertops, tabletops, so that'll help us with our fundraising to get some of the objects we need. Like, we'd like to get some glass shelving. We need to fix some of these cabinets. We need to have them all rekeyed. Most of them don't have locks that are operable at this point. So if anyone needs to get...
Mitch Paskin, Atascadero. I'd like to wish everybody a happy new year. Congratulations, Ms. Marino. Welcome. Let me state going in that my goal is still to have Castle Rock Development cut a road directly from Oak Ridge Estates to Highway 41. All the easements are in place. Everything's there. I still don't quite understand why it's never been done. It solves everybody's problem. Obviously, there's something I don't understand. There is something that can be done by the city to help encourage Mr. Shetler to change this project. And I mentioned one of those last year in the fact that the performance agreement that was signed by Castle Rock Development and the city of Atascadero allows the city to move forward in updating the intersection at Highway 41 and Los Altos Road. Okay, and Shetler has to pay for it. I think that might encourage him. If there was another avenue in and out of the project, the numbers on that intersection drop and the taper would probably be appropriate. Another thing that could be done to help Mr. Shetler change his mind is the fact that on February 11, 2003, when the project was approved, or at least to be more correct, when the master plan of development was accepted. There was open spaces that were accepted, were rejected. They were offered and rejected without prejudice. And right now, Mr. Shetler is running a cattle ranch in the middle of a Atascadero. I think the only cattle ranch within any municipality in, did I say that right? Municipality in the county. So if you turned around and accepted that land and took his cattle ranch away from him, that might be another incentive. There are things that the city can do. They keep empowering Mr. Shetler by their actions. But a lot of that's in front of the grand jury, and I don't want to go into any of that stuff. The grand jury will decide of who's, you know, who's right and who's wrong on that one. So I'm encouraging the city. I've, you know, every time I ask for something, somebody to contact me from the city, nobody ever has. I've asked for months. So I would like to know if somebody can contact me and let me know why this isn't going to happen. Okay? This is a new year. It's 2013. I tried last year a strategy of coming into the city council meeting in front of an empty house, basically. Trying to
comment. And I do want to follow up with Mitch Paskin. It seems to me I know I have met with Mr. Paskin and a number of council members have, and we've certainly felt like we were trying to respond to your questions. We had one council meeting that went pretty thoroughly over how we review and prioritize roads, and safety is a priority. I certainly felt like I didn't want to change the process in place. That's on the record. And the issues that I've heard, I haven't seen anything that we could respond to. We know it just may be an area we just disagree with, and I appreciate if you've approached the grand jury. Maybe we need some third party to tell us if we're missing something. But I couldn't see where there was an action we could take or was needed. One area that I think was a newer question that I don't know that we've addressed is the question about the rejected open space and cattle ranch. Maybe we could look into that and have some feedback on that at the next council meeting just to close the loop. But I don't have any further direction to give. Does any other council member have any questions about this or thoughts to give staff?
I think go ahead. Towards the end of last year, I think the city manager did answer all of the questions that Mr. Paskin had brought up to the city council, because I think we all agreed at one of the meetings that he needed to be answered. And I know you weren't present at the meeting, but I did send you an email to let you know that your questions were answered by the city manager and that they were available for review on the city's webpage if you wanted to look at the tape of the meeting. So I think we did follow through and attempted to answer your questions. We may not have given you the answers that you wanted to hear, but we did go through the process and answered the questions according to the documentations and the way that the project had been approved with conditions.
Any other council comment?
Yeah, Mayor, did you want me to respond to the open space?
Yes, please do if you're prepared.
On all of our projects, on any project, we're not accepting roads or open space or trails. Those items, we ask the developer to record an open space easement that we reject with prejudice, so that it is an easement that exists out there, but it is his responsibility to maintain. So if we accepted the open spillway through that project without going, you know, without stepping into somebody's yard and making it easier for that project to fit in those wildlife corridors. So the purpose of those things is consistent with each of your projects. You did the same thing at Las Lomas on those open spaces and others, where you don't accept the open space because then we would have to spend more money to maintain those open space areas.
Okay, thank you. Other council questions? Okay, we'll move forward then. That concludes community forum. Well, I would recommend that you submit any questions in writing, because then you can get something in written form back, because we have had a number of discussions. We've tried very hard to respond to your questions. You have not been satisfied with our answers, so I think it would be appropriate to have them in writing. Well, please submit them in writing, and we'll take another shot at it. Thank you. Thank you. We'll ask our city clerk to take care of that. Thank you. Okay, we have public comment concluded. We'll move on to our first agenda item, management planning update by the Community Development Department. Mr. City Manager and Mr. Warren Frace.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. It's kind of a kickoff to our 2013 strategic planning process, so we're going to be making presentations from all the different city departments about their functions and that sort of thing to brief you basically as we go into the strategic planning meeting on January 26th. So this is an informational item. We're not looking for any decisions tonight, but we're trying to provide you an outline of the key issues that are going on in community development and economic development. We expect to answer questions tonight and then put off making any final decisions to January 26th. Strategic planning, just for the public's information, is an annual process that the council goes through, and the process is basically to identify long-term goals and priorities for the city so that the city staff and the city council are on the same page in terms of what we're trying to accomplish as we go through our budget cycles. So let's review real quick just what the council's goals were for development, which issues that came out of the last budget cycle 2 years ago. So economic development was identified due in the last couple years, was established what we call the Office of Economic Development. We call it OED very often. It was created in 2009. We put that together at the council's direction to implement the council's vision for creating this business-friendly climate for our permitting processes, for our inspection processes, for pretty much everything we do throughout the city. It involves members from all the different city departments. We meet monthly and review what's going on in the city, follow up on business leads, and take action on things that we can do to get businesses open or improve processes, things like updating and streamlining permit forms, business license applications were things that we've done, provide better public information through handouts, websites, brochures, that sort of thing. We've created things like inspector site visits where the building inspectors, along with the fire department and public works, will go out and visit a site that's proposed for a new business and work with the tenant on identifying exactly what it's going to take to get a new business open. These are some examples of some pieces of information work that was done by the OED. We had the permit roadmap, which laid out the process for getting a new business open, provided directions and digital links to our website and other websites that provide information. We did a restaurant brochure that identified the location of all the restaurants. We coordinated that with the parking information for Colony Square and the theater so that as people were coming to town for the first time, showed them where to park and also where to get something to eat before or after the movie. We had the facade program where we worked with new businesses to offset some of their fees, to encourage them to do signage, paint, that sort of thing. Very successful, although with the loss of redevelopment, that program's gone away. But that is examples of some of the things that were done by OED over the past 2 years. Another thing that we've established and made a lot of progress with is the design review committee. This was set up to help streamline the architectural review process. We do have city requirements that commercial and multifamily projects go through an architectural review process. Typically in the past that was either done at a staff level or at a planning commission level. And both those had drawbacks in terms of taking some extra time or also staff not having quite the authority to make the final decision. So the design review committee was envisioned as a board that the A-Town Diner that's moving into the old Carl's Jr. restaurant. This is an example of the kind of work that we can put together quickly, get this in front of the DRC, and they can approve that, and we can get the business up and running as quickly as possible. Permit streamlining, customer service continues to be a key focal point. We had a meeting in November with all the different departments, and when I talk about that, I'm talking about fire department, public works, planning, the building department, as well as the city manager's office. And we looked at all of our processes, and we've created a task list for 2013 in terms of future and further improvements that we will be looking at. And there'll be additional updates to our public information and checklists. We're going to consolidate our inspection phone line into one single line. Right now, if you want an inspection, you call one number for public works and another for building. We're going to create a single line so it's a little easier for people to always know that they're getting to the right spot. We're putting together contractor workshops with our plan check consultant firm, California Code Check. We want to make sure that we have good dialogue between our plan checkers and the architects, engineers, and builders in town. So that's something what we're looking to set up here in the next couple weeks, just to start to improve that dialogue so that process goes as smoothly as possible. There'll be updates to our city website. We've added some planning interns to our staff. We have good relationship with Cal Poly, and we've had a lot of success bringing in these talented third and fourth year students that have really helped out a lot, like the permit roadmap was done by an intern in the past. So we want to keep as many of those interns on staff because they can really do some quality work, and they really help out around the office. And then just overall improved communication in terms of staff interaction with the public is going to be another focal point. Economic development hotspots is another key issue for the council. We identified a number of sites. I'm going to kind of go through each one of these in a little bit of detail, but I'll just hit them real quick. The Home Depot Center site, the Walmart Annex site, Kmart, the Corner Pad site, the Hoff property downtown, Colony Square, the Spencer's Deku area, and then Montecito Road, the abandoned hotel. These were all identified over the past couple years as hotspots. And hotspots are areas that were identified by the council and staff as areas where we really wanted to put some extra effort into helping these properties get developed or redeveloped so that we could get some new projects going in these locations. So in terms of what we've accomplished there, plans will be submitted soon. This project is scheduled to open in 2014. The Walmart Annex project, obviously this was another major accomplishment that the council approved last year. We are going through a lawsuit right now, but the goal is to get this project up and built as soon as possible. Kmart, there's been a pad at the corner for some sort of restaurant type building. It's been there for decades, undeveloped. So the council's identified this as a site. I know the Jim Lewis spent a lot of time trying to get this site freed up for development. We've had some resistance, unfortunately, from the Kmart Corporation on this, but this continues to be on our list. And these are the kind of things as we get into strategic planning in a couple weeks that we're probably looking for some further direction on which ones of these you want us to continue to focus on. Downtown, the Hoff property, recently we've had the final buildings demolished there, so we have a clean site. We're looking now for a plan to move forward in terms of getting some new restaurant and retail buildings there and really fill in that gap that's critical to completion of the downtown. This plan that's on the screen here was developed by the redevelopment agency a couple years ago. We hired an architect to do a concept plan. So this shows how the property could be developed with retail and commercial buildings with parking along the back. This wouldn't be the only possible design, but it gives you a good starting point. We have been looking at ways to try to get something like that started there. Jim Lewis has put together kind of an overview of some incentive package options. So these are items that we would like to get some council feedback on in terms of things that we can do to incentivize some private developer getting involved in moving this project forward. Options we've identified is the ability to credit impact fees. There was already development there in the past, so they are entitled to a credit, so we can definitely grant that credit for existing square footage. There's also the possibility of doing fee deferrals for those additional square footages that aren't covered by the credits. That would be similar to what we just did for the Spring Hill Hotel. There's some street abandonment and easement issues surrounding the property that need to be cleaned up. That is something that the city could take the lead on getting that done, so that's not an unknown for a future developer. Obviously, unknowns like that tend to give people cold feet. Fee waivers for some of the entitlements, like the conditional use permit. If the city was a partner on the site through the parking agreement, then that would allow us then to potentially waive fees because this becomes a joint project. And then there's a possibility that we could prepare some preliminary grading and drainage plans. Drainage will be an issue due to the proximity of the creek and some storm drainage problems that we just have in that area currently. Colony Square, the phase two of that project is another priority that we have. Last year, the Planning Commission approved the redesign of the second phases, which are the dirt pads that are out there surrounding the parking lot today. So these are the pictures of what the current plan is. We've been coordinating with the property owner to try to get some tenants interested in some of these buildings so that we can get the second phase out of the ground. We're going to continue to focus on that in the coming year, working with Peter Hilf to get that second phase, which is obviously really important to keep the momentum of the project going. The Decoux-Spencer's area has been identified as another area that's in need of kind of a proactive transition plan. Obviously, the Decoux store is closed. There's some antiquated uses in and around that area that really could benefit from a new vision and some master planning. Staff has worked with Decoux to just come up with this concept plan just to see if we can get some interest from some potential developers on the site. But these are the kinds of things that we continue to focus on in this next year. We know that if we could put together a nice project on Decoux and tie that back to the Spencer Center, that we could really turn that part of town around and then use that to start building off and doing additional improvements in that neighborhood zone. So those are the hot spots that we've been working on for the last couple of years and we'll continue to focus on. Some other projects that are coming our way in the future is the state-mandated building code update. So the 2013 California Building Code will go into effect starting January 1st of 2014. So basically a year from now, there's a new code that's in effect. We have to do our own local amendments, and we have to formally adopt this code before that time. So that means this summer and fall we'll have to be through that process, going through the hearings with the council to adopt that code. There's a couple different potential. We don't expect a lot of changes there, but as builders and architects get more used to that, that actually should help single-family residential permitting in the future. Then the Green Code is another California-only code that we adopted, or the state adopted 3 years ago. What they phased in the first time was fairly mild. It didn't have any, you know, very significant changes, so it was fairly easy to implement. There was some optional tiers that we didn't adopt that were included. We expect a lot of those optional tiers, which had most of the teeth in them, to become mandatory. So we think this next green code cycle will significantly start to affect how projects are designed and engineered, and it will just be a transition again for the development community as they navigate these new codes. Dormant permit program. This is a program that the council adopted a number of years ago. As before the recession, obviously, we were in the midst of a building boom. We had many projects approved around town that were just getting started with construction when basically the bottom fell out of the economy. And the council had the foresight to understand the value in keeping those entitlements and permits alive so that they could eventually be built, knowing that we had spent so much time and effort, both the public and the private sector, getting these projects approved. So we created what was called the Dormant Permit Program, which basically extended the life of all these permit applications. Normally, under the code, those would have expired within 6 months. We've kept them alive for 5 to 6 years now. Now that the economy's turning around, We're really seeing the benefit of that. We've been building out some of these dormant projects for the last couple years, but in the last year, we've really seen a lot of activity come to life. So the main projects that have benefited from the dormant permit program is the Dove Creek project down on Santa Barbara Road, as well as the Los Lomas Specific Plan down on Halcon Road, Southside Villas, which is next to Dove Creek. There's the Montecito Estates project off of Principal. Vintage Homes is a small PD project on Atascadero Avenue over by the high school. There's the Oak Haven Plan Development up near the Home Depot Center. West Front Village, which is where the Holiday Inn Express and Jack in the Box project is, and then Oak Grove 2, actually been very helpful in keeping these programs going. So we think this is a good program. We're going to continue to move forward on it. The dormant permit program is scheduled to expire at the end of this year. So I think what we're going to do is kind of see where we're at with these 440 permits. Most of these, they'll just carry through, no problem. But there's a couple other miscellaneous permits that we probably will want to investigate, see if we want to keep carrying those forward or not. So that would be a report later in the year. Return to the historic City Hall. Community development, as well as all the city staff, is beginning to prepare for that. That's going to be a major task, moving all our functions, all our services back into the historic building. We do have plans for it, but we do expect that that's going to take a significant amount of staff resources in the spring and summer in terms of planning for the move, executing the move, and then getting organized in our new space after we move. So we just want to make sure everybody's understanding that that's going to be a time commitment coming up. Public records request, something we don't hear a lot about, but it's one of those things that our front counter people and our interns and our planning staff actually end up spending a lot of time doing. One of the fallouts, I think, from the economic downturn is that lenders are a lot more particular about lending on property. So where they used to just lend on property and not ask a lot of questions about what was permitted or what not permitted, that's not the case anymore. What we're finding is that to close escrows, permit records need to be produced and usually produced fairly quickly. So we have staff spending at least 10 to 20 hours every week just researching permit records. One of the problems we have is because we weren't a city very long, a lot of these records are old county records. They're on microfilm or they're in old paper files, and even with the city files aren't all digitized. So we do have pretty good digitized records from the last 5 or 6 years, but anything older than that, and we have to go back, you know, sometimes 20, 30 years on records, typically is in a couple different locations. So that adds to the staff commitment, is having to check 3 or 4 places for a record. So that's one of the things that we're looking to make some improvements on, and trying to get more of these records digitized, and that we're going to focus on that over the coming year. Zoning code updates. The zoning code always benefits from a refresh and an update periodically, so we expect that will continue to be the case out in our industrial zone. So we're actually have that on the next Planning Commission agenda to add that as a conditionally allowed use. So that's moving forward. Some other things that are just out there that need some attention is the issue of mobile food vendors. Those are those food trucks. Those have become very popular, especially down in Southern California, where they're basically gourmet food trucks now. So we're seeing a lot more requests for kind of these high-end mobile food vendors. So we want to make sure our code is up to date to deal with that issue. Extended stay hotels is another issue. Cargo containers continue to be a challenge and a question. There's many of those down in the Port of Los Angeles, and they're easy to get, and they're showing up more and more around towns. We want to check in with the design review committee and make sure we have a process to deal with these as they continue to show up around town. Temporary events is we like to encourage temporary events. Our code doesn't deal with them very well, so we think there's some cleanup that can happen there. And then our land use definitions, there's always some new uses and things like that to consider adding. The Eagle Ranch specific plan, another big project that we've been spending a lot of time on. Just want to give you a quick update on this. The applicant has been redesigning the project. The last time the council formally saw this was, I think back in March of 2012. Since then, there were some concerns with neighborhood compatibility, traffic, phasing, that sort of thing. They basically did a complete redesign on the project to address those issues. There was also some economic issues that they had internally that they needed to address. So this plan that's on the screen here is their latest redesign. One of the biggest changes to the project is the smaller lots, which are lots less than a half acre, they had a couple hundred of them in the previous design. They've eliminated all those. So the minimum lot size is now a half acre. That reduces the density of the project, which was one of the concerns neighborhoods had. It also makes this more of a higher-end exclusive project, which is probably a little bit better fit for the nature of the site. It also creates large lots around all the perimeters of the existing neighborhoods, which was a real concern, especially along San Rafael Road. So that issue has been incorporated in the project. The Village Center that used to be in this part of the project has now been moved to this side of the project. This actually, I think, is a benefit to the project in that it moves it up into the earlier phases of the project. The Village Center invited all the neighborhoods to come and review the latest version of the project. It was very well attended. We had over 100 people. Because we have different neighborhoods with different issues, we had four different breakout groups. So we had a group that just focused on Atascadero and Ortega Road issues. We had another group that focused on San Rafael and San Carlos Road issues. We had a third group that looked at what we call San Diego West, which is out kind of toward Old Morro Road and Tolosa Road issues. Then we had a fourth group that just looked at general project issues. So we gathered a lot of information on that. It is posted on our website. As we come back through to meet with the Design Review Committee and the Council in the coming months, we'll brief you on exactly what came out of that. Traffic was clearly one of the key issues, though, especially the impact of the project, where connections are, how the traffic levels are going to change on existing surrounding neighborhood streets is going to be one of the key issues. Trails within the project, connections through the project to different areas was also another issue that gathered a lot of comment from the public. In terms of next steps on Eagle Ranch, this will be going to the Design Review Committee on January 31st. That's going to be a big Design Review Committee meeting, so we'll hold it here in the council chambers. We're getting postcards ready right now, so we'll do our blanket noticing of the whole area. So we would expect 100-plus people for the Design Review Committee. So we're going to ask the Design Review Committee to make a recommendation to the City Council on the project. Then the project will go to a joint session of the City Council and Planning Commission on February 26th. That is one of your regular scheduled meetings. What we're going to be looking for at that meeting is direction on whether this project is to a level that we're prepared to begin the environmental review process. Let's see. Housing element. That's another thing that's coming up. So the state periodically issues what's called a regional housing needs allocation, which is basically where they dictate that cities amend their housing element to provide for the possibility of building certain quantities of affordable housing, which typically we're talking about apartments and higher density type housing. So the new allocation has recently come out. SLOCOG basically administers that. So we've been meeting with SLOCOG over the past couple months about the numbers. The good news is the numbers are very similar. They're actually a little bit lower than our last allocation. So summer of 2014, if you miss that date, then there's a number of new requirements and penalties that kick in, and we definitely want to avoid that at all costs. We also have to finish up some cleanup work that's from our current housing element, and we have a consultant that's working on that right now. One of the key things is we have to implement what's called SB2 or Senate Bill 2, which is a requirement that all cities provide a site or a zone where an emergency shelter, which is basically a homeless shelter, can be built without requiring any special approvals like a conditional use permit. So we are going to go through that process. We've been meeting with our consultant about that, and we've been meeting with ECHO because we already actually do have an emergency shelter in town. They're in the process of buying the old Baptist church by the high school. They would like to make that the permanent site since they've been there for a number of years. It does make sense to identify that as our SB2 site, but we obviously need to do some public outreach, and we'll have to go through the Planning Commission and City Council to get that identified as the site. So that is something that you'll probably start to hear from the public, and we'll start reporting back in the coming months. So we actually have an outreach meeting that we're looking at probably for February. So that thing will start to pick up speed. And then there's some miscellaneous updates to our just housing code that will be piggybacked on with that as well. Native tree planting continues to be something that we spend a lot of time on in the background. We do have a fund that we collect as trees are removed throughout town as part of development projects, and then we use that fund to sponsor these tree planting programs. So you can see in your staff report, we've done these plantings throughout town. We continue to do that. We have a consultant, Lindy Outhouse, that's working right now with us in terms of identifying sites, in terms of where we're going to be planting trees for the upcoming years. Corey Meyer has been key in terms of implementing that at the staff level. So Corey's leaving the city will definitely affect our program. So I just found out that Corey's leaving, so I have to figure out exactly how we're going to deal with that. But that's another program that, you know, will require attention, and that's something we'll spend time on in the future. The Climate Action Plan is part of a grant from the Air Pollution Control District. So they're sponsoring climate action plans or CAP plans for all the small cities in San Luis Obispo County. They've hired a consultant. There's been some public workshops and meetings over the past year on this. Toward the end of this month, we're thinking about a special meeting on January 29th. They'll be making a recommendation to the City Council. We understand that the Council wants to be very involved in this process. So the goal would be to have the Commission then make a recommendation, and then we'll make a presentation to the Council about what the recommended measures are, and the Council can give us a direction on exactly what we would like to submit to the APCD for their consideration. Ultimately, it's supposed to be a collaborative effort where the City and APCD work together to then agree on this climate action plan for the City. Ultimately, the Council has the final say, so the Council will adopt whatever plan they feel fits the City best. Stormwater regulations from the Regional Water Quality Control Board is another item that we're going to have to act on in 2013. We've prepared a stormwater management program. 2013 is the year that we actually have to amend our code and put all these rules into effect. So stormwater regulations, what this is going to deal with is how stormwater is handled on developed sites. So what that means is that we're going to have to collect water on site, we're going to have to clean water up, we're going to have to store water, try to put it back into the groundwater table as much as possible. So the old way of just collecting rainwater and putting it in a storm pipe and getting it into the creek as fast as possible isn't going to be the way it works in the future. So there's going to be requirements for a lot more on-site detention, filtering, remediation, that sort of thing. Unfortunately, those all cost money. They're going to affect sites, how they're designed. Big projects like Eagle Ranch that have a lot of space to work with, it won't be very hard for a project like that to deal with it. But when you get into smaller infill sites where you don't have large lots, you don't have a lot of extra land to store water on, it becomes more of a challenge. And most of what we do in Atascadero is actually infill development along El Camino Real, which is good because we're not building out into the greenfield areas, but it becomes a challenge with some of these types of requirements. So those are issues and challenges that we're going to be dealing with this year. SLOCOG has received a grant to prepare a trail master plan for the Salinas River. Basically, the idea is to create a long-term plan to connect Santa Margarita and Atascadero and connect up some of the segments that we have here in town. So this potentially ends up being a real benefit to the community. Because it's sponsored by SLOCOG, once this plan's approved, then that's going to open the door for grants through SLOCOG and different transportation funding sources to start to build and complete some of these connection pieces. So we think this is a good thing. The planning staff is going to spend some time this year, and as we get a little bit more information, we'll be briefing the council and commission on progress. Then let's see, finally, affordable housing policy review. So in 2003, the city council adopted what we call an inclusionary housing policy, which basically required that any time you were doing a general plan amendment or a plan development, which is what we call legislative approval that comes to the city council, there was a requirement to provide a certain percentage of those units as affordable units. With changes in the economy and things like that, we've already heard from the council that this policy doesn't fit with Eagle Ranch, and we're going to want to do something different. So it probably makes sense in the next couple years to revisit this policy as well and make sure that as we start to see this next wave of development come through, that we've got a policy that we're all comfortable with in terms of moving forward. So that will conclude the community development report, and be happy to answer your questions.
Council questions for staff. I think we are pretty good. Oh, Councilwoman Fonzie.
I don't know if these are questions, if this is the time that we could ask that certain things be added for additional consideration. Is
certainly.
Okay, go ahead. Very good. In terms of your zoning code updates, I'd like to add also regulation review to that.
Okay.
And consider things like fence heights. I would like to review the sign ordinance and mural policy. We've gotten burned on those before, and I think it's time to include those in there. The housing element, and this would also probably tie in with the affordable housing policy review, I'd like to have the council at least consider its strategic planning a studio apartment addition to our second unit. We are now at 800 square foot is the maximum that we can do, or the minimum. I think that there's I get confused on this one.
The maximum's 1,200 square feet. We don't have a minimum for second units.
Okay. I would like to perhaps put in something about a studio apartment runoff that we're talking about in this particular court case. So if there's going to be a change, we probably should have heads up on that before we put any money into a policy change. I think that does it for me.
Tom?
Go ahead, Councilman Kelly.
Mrs. Fonzie brought up, I think when the Los Alamos people came before the DRC, they had a concept of what they called a boomerang room. Mm-hmm. I think maybe if we could discuss that, I thought that was a pretty good concept.
Okay.
That might help with the secondary housing or what have you. And I think getting back to the fencing, I know in the past we've had problems with the fencing or hedges along the road. And I know sometimes we address the height of a fence, but the person next door can have a 6 or 8 foot hedge. So I think we could maybe work on a clarification of that. And then I don't know if this has to do with you, but I think we have maybe addressed in strategic planning some of the homeless encampment issues in town, how we may want to address that in the future.
Thank you. Other Councilwoman Moreno.
If we're adding to the list, I would second the, not second, I guess that's not the right term to use. I would agree with the going over the sign ordinance. I'm concerned about consistency amongst the various pieces of the ordinance. Also, with regards to, as we're looking at the trails, and I know when it comes to the climate action plan that we have limited flexibility in what we can actually do. The rest of it is dictated from outside. So I'm hoping that as I'm looking at these trails and it's talking about, you know, commuters and things like that, I'm hoping that some of that becomes, you know, mitigation within the cap, that we're getting credit for that, I guess I would say. So maybe a little bit of information on that, of things that we already have going on that give us credit there.
Yeah.
Add something else. Oh, and from an economic development standpoint and everything that we're doing, just kind of talking about, I know you've got mental marketing working on, but, you know, on what is the image of the city and kind of the big picture and looking at that too, tying all of this together, really, and I think the five of us will have fun doing that. Thank you.
Other council.
One thing I've been getting some complaints on is actually the I can't remember, Gerald brought it before, it was that municipal, the trash, the deal with the trash. It gave you a little more teeth being able to enforce if there were issues, people going through your garbage.
And there are some laws like you discussed, so we'll probably need to discuss it in further detail at the time of the strategic planning session to give you a kind of a more clear understanding of what we can and can't enforce with regard to that law, but you are correct.
Other council comment? Councilwoman Fonzie?
Oh, I'm always good for a few more here. So, also, kind of a peripheral issue, but this would involve Russ. So I'll wake you up here.
Oh. Well, ask Brady for a card.
Very good. I've had some calls about the need for traffic calming or a stop sign at particularly San Anselmo and the intersection of Dolores. I know we've looked at this before, but more from the point of view of stop signs rather than traffic calming. So I'd like us to consider that in our strategic planning as well.
So review of our road requirements where we have very little say on such
right.
items might be appropriate.
And maybe there's nothing we can do, but maybe there is. Okay, very good. And this is just me. Maybe no one else on the council will feel this way. I keep feeling that the state is putting more and more burdens on the cities. And we get things like the low-impact development. We have the stormwater runoff. We've got whatever it may be, the cause du jour. I would like to see this council take a policy stance to take this to the League of California Cities for some pushback. And whether this would be something we would revisit at strategic planning, I would like to see it done.
Well, I have a thought on that, so I'll come back to that. But any other things to add? Let me begin by once again, Warren. It's amazing the job you do. You're very thorough. We are very fortunate to have you. I could go on, but we think you do a great job. Suffice that to say, I think that's unanimous by the council. I do want to echo, I think studio apartments are a piece that's really missing in that continuum, and I think discussion on that. I want to bring to attention, there was a section, the business section of the Tribune, Sunday, December 30th, had an interesting article on the next generation of housing. I think they were called granny pods, but it's really more what they called high-tech elder care. I was very impressed with these modular systems, fairly small, but they are very much prepared for monitoring health issues, a perfect little solution for an instant solution that could be temporary. There literally could be unloaded, livable space. There are so many agencies with ideas coming at us. And quite frankly, I think a lot of ideas, especially in the environmental area, are some good ideas, well-intentioned, but often there's some conflicting requirements from multiple agencies. And what I am going to propose, we don't have time to go into a lot of detail here, and it may cause some confusion by even what I'm going to suggest, but I'm going to propose something in parallel to the Design Review Committee. I'd like to see them deal more with economic development and all the things that they're doing, and maybe even do more. I'm considering a parallel, maybe less involved committee of two council members that would take a look at more of the environmental issues across the board and kind of see how they can be integrated. And I think there'd be two things I'd want to focus on. Well, maybe three. I think there's a lot of things that are just win-win. How do we get those things implemented? Really what I would call more from an environmental stewardship perspective. We want to do a good job in many areas. There's some areas where we need to kind of coordinate these pieces, and I think one outcome would be working with so many of the areas, whether it's these trail plans, bike month, you name it. There's a lot of things that kind of cross some boundaries. But an important aspect is when we identify some areas that could be improved, that we do exactly what you're saying. We work with our folks at the legislature that maybe we can recommend some good ideas. I've talked with our new Senator Monning, who I think was interested in some of my experience on the water board, that sometimes I think they would be interested in how we could maybe improve some of these things. So I think I'd just like to have that on our agenda, strategic planning. Let's take a look at a lot of these things that overlap. And quite frankly, I think a lot of times we don't get credit for a lot of the things that we do. That was also brought up. Quite frankly, as we New Times pointed out, the lowest cost solar panel permit system in the county, Atascadero, the best over-the-counter gray water system, Atascadero. We have, with larger lot sizes, we do have a lot of open space benefit that we should be getting more credit for. So I think kind of taking a more of a systems approach at those areas, I think maybe we can, we have to be involved, I think, as council members in some of these areas. So again, I'll kind of defer that to discussion at strategic planning.
It's becoming shells. And so the more we just let that come and we try to wiggle around it, it's just going to keep coming more and more. So I would definitely support, you know, is there some way as local communities we can start pushing back, because the state is, whether they're taking redevelopment money or pushing all sorts of regulations right on us, I feel a little suffocated.
Well, and I think that's, again, I would like to see, if we agree on this concept, I'm going to recommend that Councilman Sturdivant and I take that lead on this, partly for two reasons. As you pointed out, Brian is our representative to the League of California Cities, and I also am on a statewide City PAC board, which is the political action committee arm of League of California Cities, and they want to be more involved. They feel like, given the legislature, we may have to get more involved, even going to the public on some of these things. So I think, one, we could kind of see what works for our city, making sure they fit together the best they can, but also if there's something comes out of that, we could then, from our whole council, we could then take that on to the league in pretty seamless manner. So again, let's have some more discussion on strategic planning. I don't want to say any more than that. I think that covers, one other item that I have heard brought up a number of times is concerns about the California code check. The whole discussion, do we want to look at, reconsider doing it in-house, or how this works? I think it'd probably be good to have a presentation to us just how this works and what our alternatives are and what kind of feedback have you heard. And I think, is there support for some discussion on that area?
I think Warren brought that up on some of the workshops that they're having, that they're going to bring contractors, architects in to talk to California Code Check. I have a big concern over it. I'm pretty much connected, you know, with the building business from my past experiences, and I have received a lot of complaints about the plan check process. Nothing within our city or our employees or anything about that, but just the, like an overkill on the plan check deal. And I think we can find some improvement, or I hope we can.
Yeah, so I think that'd be something we want to have some discussion on. Any other comment about this? I'm going to open it to the public in case the public would like to weigh in on anything we've talked about, strategic planning. Seeing no one approach, I'll close that. Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome. Yeah, you do know that Eagle Ranch is on the agenda tonight.
One is just a budget cleanup item.
Okay. I'll defer to staff's recommendation on that. Please go ahead. State your name again for the record.
My name is Victor Montgomery, and I'm here on behalf of the Eagle Ranch owners. And as I mentioned, they wrote you a letter about your strategic planning process, and I hope you got a chance to look at it. And they asked me to make some really brief comments tonight. The first comment we wanted to make is to again thank the staff for a really over-the-top effort at the December 13th public meeting. We really appreciated the help they gave us in communicating and organizing that meeting and attending. It was very much appreciated. The second comment was the ranch owners asked me to convey their sincere desire to continue the planning process. They feel the process has been productive, notwithstanding we went two steps forward and maybe one step back since March to reevaluate the plan. But they are looking forward to the EIR process, and they feel we've reached a point where it's essential to start the EIR in order to ask questions that we're being asked by the community, and we really can't provide the answers. They need to come from a third-party analysis. A third thing is, and this has to do with something that may be on the next item, but with regard to the constraints analysis, the costs have exceeded the original estimate. The ranch owners are okay with that. Questions were asked of the ranch owners. We didn't have the answers, but we wanted to explore them and provide responses to the community. And so they've authorized a number of additions to that budget. And they feel that was worthwhile because it gave us the ability to respond to the questions we were asked by the neighbors. In summary, the clients believe that moving forward with the specific plan and EIR consistent with the city general plan is the right direction. And they still believe it's a better direction than implementing the 452 lots that exist in the county. And we hope that as you examine your strategic planning, Eagle Ranch will be a part of the effort over the next few years, an integral part of that effort. And again, I want to say thank you on behalf of the ranch owners, and we will see you at your strategic planning session.
Thank you. Any other member of the public on the strategic planning item? Seeing none, I'll close it to the public, bring it back to council, and I'll defer to staff. It seems like some of those comments might be more appropriate on the other agenda item, but you'll include it.
Theater, and we have it on Tuesday night. We're looking for those parking spots, too. I think that maybe the downtown parking issue would be revisited there, perhaps at the Hoff property or others. It could be restriping or any of several other options, but I think that is a hot spot, and we should call the downtown parking a hot spot area as well. And perhaps to throw in on the side, if we're talking about economic development, if we can find a way to finance that pedestrian bridge to get people from the parking that is here by the old City Hall and back across to the theater project.
Well, I will add a comment on that. Having worked with organizing some special events around town, and the Chief Haley was very helpful, and we did our 500 Women Conference at the Community Center last year that we'll do again this year. It was very helpful. What Warren produced a aerial view map of all of the parking spaces, plus we identified a lot of areas that, you know, you really could call it a parking space with a little bit of work. And I think it might be helpful to, again, I know you've already done an inventory of pretty much every parking space there is downtown. You might take a look at, again, a little review of what are our options. I think you've kind of done this work before, but I think we may want to prioritize. At least we don't want to get caught too far behind as the need develops. So that sounds like a good review. And then maybe we want to look at, okay, what are some, and you may have some ideas, because sometimes it may be connecting some of those parking spaces or better marking that we've found. So any of those ideas that you already know that might help that, so that I think we'd like to hear about.
Okay, I think that would be appropriate to add that as a hot spot, and then that would give us direction to do those things.
Good. Well, you know, we've all have been good ideas. I don't want to, don't stop now, Roberta.
Okay, here we go.
Go ahead.
I think that we're missing an avenue with our state representatives to do certain things, and I've talked to Cacho about liquor licenses for the downtown, particularly for the Carlton, that there is not very many available. I think there are other avenues that we need to be hitting the legislators and thinking outside the box on how they can help us as a city. They've taken away our redevelopment. What can they do to help us develop backwards here? So I'm going to lay that responsibility on them. But I just want to lay that out as something to think about, just a little tickler. How can we have our
good ideas, and it would be good to pass those on. So I think you're right on that area. Last chance, we'll close this item, and thank you again, Warren, for a great report, and we'll move on to the next management report, the Eagle Ranch Specific Plan, EIR, I think this is fairly straightforward. When we open it up to the public, I believe my eyes aren't that good, but I believe I recognize Mr. Hyman in the audience as the one person from the neighborhood. Am I correct?
No.
Oh, I can't. Well, who are you? Okay. Are you here to speak on this Eagle Ranch item? Okay. Well, enjoy the evening then. This could be a very short item. My apologies. I'll turn it over to staff for a staff report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is basically a cleanup housekeeping item on the Eagle Ranch specific plan. This is dealing with the EIR consultant contract and some amendments that we've processed that we just need to get the council endorsement on. So what we're asking for is council to authorize the city manager to execute the final change orders to the contract to Michael Brandman and Associates for the preliminary studies that were done as part of what we called the Phase 1 environmental analysis for Eagle Ranch, with a cap not to exceed $300,000, all of that to be paid by the applicant. A little bit of background on this. In 2010, when the council authorized processing the Eagle Ranch specific plan, we talked about the concept of doing some of the environmental analysis up front, having the city do the work rather than the applicant, because the applicant, if they did traffic studies, we wouldn't accept them as impartial. So they were really limited on their ability to analyze the biological and archaeological and traffic issues without the city taking the lead on preparing those studies. So what we did is we set up this process with Michael Brandman Associates where they would do this phase one analysis of these key issues before we solidified the site plan, so that we had the opportunity basically to help the project self-mitigate in terms of moving things around to avoid key impacts on the site. And that's worked it's worked very well, actually, in terms of the plan that we've gotten to date. So that was the process we did. So we issued this phase one contract to Michael Brandman to do that work. So was a total of $641,000 for all of the environmental work. So that was envisioned to be $113,000 for that preliminary phase one, phase two analysis work, and then $528,000 for the environmental impact report, which is the item we haven't started. So what we've encountered is that due to neighborhood issues, issues dealing with the Native American tribes, and just environmental issues on the site, we've needed to do more than that $113,000 worth of work. So we did expand the environmental process to include both the Salinan and Northern Chumash tribes in on-site consultations with the archaeologist, so that they could basically be hands-on and see really what was being done on the site, so they have a higher level of confidence in the studies. We heard from the neighborhoods early on and throughout the neighborhood meetings that traffic impacts on local streets was a key issue. So we've had the traffic consultant continue to do more and more detailed studies. So we've actually done almost EIR level traffic analysis at a preliminary level. So this is money that we won't have to spend later, and we'll end up with a lot better project. So really what we've done is we've done stuff that we were going to do in the EIR and moved it basically earlier into the project so that we could help design a better project. So that, I think this is all time and money well spent, but it's a little bit different than what we had originally described to the council, and that's why we want to just come back and check in so that you understand how these dollars fit with the EIR that's going to be upcoming if that's authorized. And then there were some additional costs just looking at these new project design options that came out over the last 6 months. So as I said, we are requesting that the city manager is authorized to finish the contract up for phase one. It will be about $276,000 for all that phase one work. We're asking for authorization to go up to $300,000 just so that we can deal with any final issues that come up. As we move into phase three, which is the formal EIR, so if the council chooses to move forward with the project and the EIR, we'll come back with a new scope of work from Michael Brandman and Associates with a new dollar amount, and then we'll have you authorize that. So what we're asking for tonight is basically authorize and clean up all the work that's been done in phase one and two, and then we'll basically close that out. And then if
just a question, when you had mentioned about this work being done kind of a pre-EIR in this phase one and two, is that going to be kind of an issue when the EIR is completed, having the work pre-done in another phase?
No. Because it's all been done by our consultants, it all will be valid in terms of
analysis that can be used in the EIR process. So the same consultants that did the preliminary archaeological and traffic studies, they'll do the final reports, and they'll just tie all that information together in the EIR.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie.
I know when we originally started the process, we were looking at this as a slightly different process because the project was going to follow the environmental restraints of the site. When are we going to actually see the finished project? Will it be at the end of the EIR, or this will be defined before the EIR is truly before us?
Well, I think when we come for the joint session, we'll be able to show you how this site plan that they have lines up with the constraints analysis. So you see on that plan there's lots of open space areas. Those aren't just randomly selected. Those we'll show you are either the biologically constrained areas, or they're hillside constrained areas, or they're archaeologically constrained areas, or they're all three of those. So all those hotspot areas we've avoided so that we don't need to mitigate them or work around them. We just took them off the table. So underlying that site plan of why, you know, lots here and a green space is there, it was all came out of that analysis process. And then in terms of the density of the project, where access roads are going, things like where traffic circles are and traffic calming features, that's all come out of that traffic analysis. So we think we've made a lot of progress in terms of just figuring out how to deal with traffic ahead of time rather than waiting till the end when the EIR comes out to realize, oh, you know, we have an impact in this neighborhood we never knew about. We have that information already.
And at what point in time will we know that we're considering a larger project in terms of number of acres or drawing that boundary into a tighter boundary for annexation?
I think that is going to be one of the alternatives that comes out of the EIR. So we're going to recommend the project be the whole annexation area. But as we make that boundary smaller, that will reduce some fiscal impacts and some other impact issues. So we see that as being one of the alternatives. So that may
conversations, I know it's not required, but in most cases where we're involved in a project that's got development that often has some questions from the community, I kind of like to offer that opportunity. I know, for one, I've heard from Mr. Hyman, who I thought was in the audience. He wears a hat just like yours. And some other neighbors about this project. I've also met with the owners and the architect on this project at a joint meeting with Councilwoman Moreno joined me on that as well. Any other contacts anyone wishes to disclose? Ex parte is primarily for us to talk about if we have had any contact with someone outside of this public process, will we learn something new that we didn't really learn from this process, and it influenced our decision making, because people have a right to know that. Usually we don't hear anything new, and it probably usually folks do not come to a conclusion before a meeting, but it's still good to kind of tell about any of our contacts we have. So I won't go into this lengthy discussion every time. I'll just say, anybody want to do an ex parte?
I've met with Mr. Montgomery and the owners, and just for an update to some of the changes that they've made, which Warren had expressed this evening. And I occasionally get contacted by neighbors in the area to the status of the project.
I've also met with Mr. Montgomery and the owners just for an update, the latest update as to what was going on with the project.
I, too, have met with Mr. Montgomery and the owners of the project, and also with David Church, who is the head of LAFCO.
The mayor's done my ex parte for me, and I have nothing else.
Thank you. With that, I'll open it up to public comment. Anyone from the public or project, if you have anything further to add? Seeing no one approach, I'll close public comment, bring it back to council for motion or further discussion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the recommendation as set forth in the agenda item.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Kelly, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next thing on the agenda is council announcements and reports. One thing I'm going to start off with is a kind of a report. I look for your feedback at strategic planning about how we might want to run meetings, get your feedback. I know some of you do not like your feedback, strategic planning, how we want to run our meetings, and that would be good. This is a little different. I'm going to go through on the committees and review all the committee assignments. It's customary for the council to kind of do a little reorganization after an election, and usually the mayor recommends the appointments to all of the committees. Usually that's pretty much how it goes, though the council has a right to overrule the mayor, and we're still just one vote up here, each one of us. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and go through the appointments, and then after going through that, just as part of your council announcements and reports, if you want to also include anything about any of the committees you've been involved or comment about that, that would be great. I want to start by complimenting Chief Haley over there, surprising him. But I did have a nice contact with a lady from Transitions Mental Health Association, Jill Bolster White. Very nice lady, speaks very highly of you and very pleased that you have joined the board. It's a countywide organization, very involved with health and human services. So once again, you've made a great impression, and I just appreciate that you're involved in our community very much, and that's appreciated. So thank you. We also have some appointments made by entities outside of the council. Again, Bob Kelly is appointed by the governor, will continue to serve on the Atascadero State Hospital Advisory Committee, and Roberta Fonzi was appointed by the City Selection Committee to serve as an alternate on the Local Agency Formation Commission, LAFCO, and we hope to lobby to try to get her on the primary position there. It would be very good with her experience. As far as the committees that we have control over at the City Council level, the Air Pollution Control District Board, Roberta Fonzi will continue on that. There's a California Joint Powers Insurance Authority Board that we haven't talked about much. I've actually been the appointed person for about 8 years. It has involved with our pool of insurance companies, and I've asked if Heather Moreno would take that over, and I think she'd be ideal dealing with health care issues in that area, and she's agreed to do that. We also have our City Schools Committee, made up of two council members and two school board members and staff, to talk about issues between our entities. Brian Sturdivant and I will continue on that. The Community Action Partnership of most important committees, and I hope to see its role even expanded, maybe a little more in the economic development area, but we can talk about that during strategic planning. We have the Finance Committee. I've asked Heather Moreno to chair that committee and Brian Sturdivant to serve on that, and I think with both of their expertise, that will be well served. Nice to have a CPA as a chair to converse with our CPA in finance. I do think we do have our budget cycle coming up this year, 2-year budget cycle. We will have a lot more discussion on the budget, and you two being our newest council members, so to speak, I think it's also give it opportunity to get a little more used to the budget. Bob and Roberta and I are so old, well, at least Bob and I are. We've been through the budget process a time or two, but we will all be much more involved in financial issues this year because of that cycle. We also have the Homeless Services Oversight Council, which Councilman Kelly's agreed to continue on. It's a lot of work, another drive over the grade. I will continue on with the Integrated Waste Management Authority, and Brian Sturdivant will serve as our council liaison for the League of California Cities. I will continue to be on the League of California City PAC board, which is really appointed by the state league board to be involved in basically political action activities, a little bit parallel to the league. The oversight board for a successor agency to the Community Redevelopment Agency of Atascadero. I can never remember that one, but I've asked Roberta Fonzi to continue on with that. She was the former chairperson for the Redevelopment Agency and has some good experience, can get up to speed quickly, I'm sure. We also have the San Luis Council of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority. I'll continue to serve on those boards, but look forward to handing that baton off and down the road to someone. And I missed Economic Vitality Corporation, and I think that'll dovetail nicely with the economic development that we need to get a little more involved with, and Bob Kelly's agreed to continue with that. And I think I'd like to see a little more work with, they have a very good loan program, and I'd like to see a little more work with our local lending institutions, and maybe we want to look at our role with that, see how we can help a little more, and I think you're the perfect guy for that job. I think I've covered all of the appointments.
I think Warren came up with that we do have some important issues coming across, and I know that Mrs. Marino is entitled to make an appointment, and we also have two people at large, and I'm not quite sure what the status of those positions are.
Thank you. I meant to speak on that. If you'd let me take that back and talk on that a minute, and then we'll have some discussion. One of our problems is because of a Brown Act, we really can't talk about a lot of this stuff beforehand. So a lot of times it looks like, don't you guys have this all figured out? Well, we don't have that opportunity outside of this meeting. So we do have five members on the Design Review Committee. I've appointed the two council members. In the past, I appointed the other three members 2 years ago. The at-large person has agreed to continue on, who's Susan DeCarli. We do have two planning commissioner members, but before I assume we will continue with the two we had until we have an opportunity to talk about this, because I don't want to try to appoint two for your review at this point, because we have some new ones to come on, and that may change. I was going to suggest, I think any of you, when I stop talking here in a minute, you guys could mention if you have your appointments to Planning Commission, and I was going to go ahead and ask staff to go through the process to start the recruitment for two at-large positions and have that all ready to go. We may well decide we want to go down a different track at strategic planning, but I don't want to have it delayed and not have that ready to go if we want to go forward with the recruitment on that. And so I would like to just direct staff to go forward with preparing for that. I don't want to actually do the recruitment interviews until after strategic planning, where we have a chance to talk about the committee structure and if we want to do anything different. And so Marcia wants to tell me how I did that wrong. Now, go ahead.
No, actually, I was waiting to see if you were going to say anything else. I was just going to say, so you do want me to collect applications?
Yes,
see if people are interested and go to that point, but don't actually schedule the interviews. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I would like to do that if there's no objection. So if you go ahead and get some advertisement, get some names collected so we are ready to go right after strategic planning if we decide to go forward with that.
That sounds fine. Thanks.
And that'll be for the two at-large positions. So did that cover it, Bob, or what
else
did I do?
I think right now.
Very good. Ms. Fonzie.
I'm sorry to say that my appointee, Beth Wingett, will be resigning from the position shortly, and I will be appointing Jan Wolf.
Very good. The types of things we might want to discuss at strategic planning is, I think there's a little confusion on some of these planning commission appointments, and things are a little bit different now that we have a two-year mayor, and we've often had two-year appointment cycles. We might want to have some discussion. Do we want to align these review opportunities with that or not? So I think we could talk about strategic planning. That might change how we look at maybe their two-year appointments instead of four-year appointments. We could have that discussion at strategic planning, and we may have some discussion about number of commissioners, those kind of things. We can do that at strategic planning.
I think we also have the Parks and Recreation. I think that'll come up at strategic planning.
Yes. Yeah.
Will strategic planning be 5 days now?
Yes, 5 days for strategic planning.
Which Hawaiian island?
We're going to remove quick. Okay, I'll crack the whip. We digress slightly. Have I covered all assignments, and there's no objection to those? Okay, I will move on then to our council announcements and reports. I'm going to start at this end and work our way this way. Any of your activities you'd like to share, or any reports on committees you've been on in the past?
I have no reports on any of the committees that I have been on. I do have some meetings lined up here in the near future, but I would like to maybe follow in Jerry's footsteps that A-Town Deli did open up in the older Carl's Jr., and I was there the other day. They did a really nice job of redecorating the place, and it was full. And the prior location that they have, one of the people from the Hoovers family has opened up there, so we do have another little Hoovers in town. Okay. So, you know, hopefully we can keep the restaurant tradition going. And so, you know, we are getting more places to eat. And I've noticed down at the Players, the Golden Dragon people are starting to, you know, make their renovations to the place. So we have still have some good progress in town.
Good. Thank you.
Well, it's been quiet over the Christmas and New Year's holiday, but we have the upcoming mayors and new council members, League of California Cities Conference next week. Marcia, Wade, and Tom, Roberta, Heather, and myself will be attending. And you're absolutely right, Roberta, when it comes to what's going on with these unfunded mandates and all that's coming down that's being piled on top of us and things we can't afford.
But nobody's mentioned that we have a new member of our city family, little Troy Maxwell Lewis.
Thank you.
Jim Lewis, and his wife had a little boy. And he is named after, I have a feeling, the Trojans, the USC mascots. We all know how much Jim loves the Trojans.
I think he was actually a pretty big boy. Was he almost 9 pounds, I think?
I think he was over 8.
Yeah.
No report. I will just say I'm looking forward to working in these committees, working with you, Brian, and with Rochelle. So here's to 2013.
Very good. Thank you. We'll now go on to those individual determinations. One last bite at the apple. Any items from City Council, or City Clerk, City Treasurer, City Attorney, City Manager?
No.
We are adjourned. Thank you. Piece of agenda, because the mayor doesn't have that piece of agenda, so maybe it's in a...
I'm thinking you probably have it back here, but you can just use this.
I'll take that.
Here it is right here.
Okay, here we go. Thank you. Great to be part of a great team. We will now call to order the Atascadero Public Financing Authority. A roll call, please.
Board Member Moreno?
Here.
Board Member Kelly?
Here.
Board Member Fonzie?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Sturdivant?
Here.
Chairperson O'Malley?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. I'll ask for approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant and seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Board Member Kelly?
Yes.
Board Member Moreno?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Sturdivant?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We now have an opportunity for community forum. Anyone would like to comment on an item not on the agenda, which is darn near everything? Seeing no one approach, we'll close community forum, bring it back to board announcements and reports. Any board member have an announcement or a report? We do have a consent calendar item, board special meeting minutes of January 10, 2012.
I make a motion to approve.